The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The following daf has been dedicated by Michael Bahar and family.
Shabbos daf pei beis. We're starting in Yiras Hashem Perek Rebbe Kiva. The Perek is somewhat of an adventure. There's nothing really per se as the theme of the Perek. It's just different Mishnayos with remises. The last Mishnah of the previous Perek, of the 8th Perek, had a remez ledover, alvish and rai ledover, zeich ledover, and the Gemara brings the Mishnah brings the pasuk. So in the same vein, the Mishnayos over here are going to bring psukim to bolster different halakhas. The first one is about avodah zarah. The second one, which is really tumah v'tayra. Then there's a Mishnah about another Mishnah about tumah v'tayra. There's a Mishnah about zroim. So there's a collection of different halakhas. And some of the inyanim are not so familiar, but we'll try to Be'ez Hashem elucidate some of the basics of some of the inyanim that are a little more, drop more esoteric. The first Mishnah, we'll read it inside, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Menayin Lavoy Dezor Shemitam of Bemaser Kenido. There's what's called in the Torah Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa. Tumas Maga is the basic that anything that is mitame, such as a sheretz or a person that's tame, a zov, a zova, a nida, etc., are mitama bimaga. If they touch something, they are mitama that thing. If we're talking about something which is an avatum, we're not going to get involved in all the pratim. If something is an avatum, when it touches something, tumas maga will transmit tumma in one less darga. Avatum creates a rishon l'tumma creates a shein l'tumma, and so on and so forth. What can become tumma, what can't, what's mitame. The halacha over here is minayin lavoy dezor shemitama b'maso kenida. There's a tumah that's nitoisav, that's added on to mago. The regular, as we just said, oifin of transmitting, the classic way of transmitting tumah is tumas mago. There are certain things where the Torah says that ha noise, let's say by nevela is behema that's not shechted ka halacha is mitame. Not only if one touches it, but if one carries that nevela, one transports that nevela, which is called maso, then one does not only become tame as per the touch, but the begodim that are on him, which l'chayr by rights, if the nevela is an avatum, he becomes a rishon. His begodim that are touching him should only be a sheni. The halacha begodim cannot become a sheni l'tumah. The halacha is therefore nischadish. The Torah says vanoise nivlosa is Yirchas Begodov, his Begodim become Tomei, which Chazal understand means that when he becomes Tomei as a Rishon L'Tumah, his clothing become Tomei with him also as a Rishon L'Tumah. So this is the halacha that's Mechadish over here. A Nida is Metamei. Anybody who touches a Nida becomes Tomei, not only him. Not touches a Nida, but is Metamei B'maso, not only him, but the Begodim that are on him. And the Mishnah is Mechadish that Avodizora is Mitame v'masa. Avodizora is Mitame. Some say it's only Dirabonon. And the Tumah is transmitted not only in the Maga in the simple form, transmitted by touch, but it's also transmitted v'masa to be Mitame begodim. The Pasuk says, Tizrim kimoi dovo. Say toim aloi that the Nida is compared to Avodizora. Dovo is the Lashon of Nido. Ma Nida Mitame v'masa, af Avodizora Mitame b'masa. Now again, a lot of these inyanim are not so karvalev. We don't know that much, unless somebody specializes in tairis, but it's a little bit harder to get a handle on the inyanim of tumah v'tayra. What I'd like to do is to discuss for a few minutes, maybe somewhat just to be able to acquire somewhat more of a taste of a deeper understanding for the finer points in tumah v'tayra, to discuss some of the underlying themes. Some of it might sound like drush, but it might help to open up a little bit the world of the world of Tahara, but the halachas of Tumah v'Tahara and the different things that are Mitame and the different Eifanim of being Mitame is a whole Seder and Shas. And it's always good to have a little bit of a deeper look at things. Shamshon Kol Herzatzal, in his Pirush Al HaTorah, explains what exactly is meant. What's the deeper meaning of this Tumas Masa? We understand, whether we understand it or not is not relevant, but we can appreciate, we have an understanding, we could define for ourselves what Tumma is. There's something about this thing which is Tumma, and it's transmitted to something else. The oifen of transmission is touch. Touch, or let's say by a mace, the oifen of transmission is an oil, we could understand that. What is meant exactly? What is the hagdorah, the halakhic definition of something being mitame b'masa? Is the clothing part of a person? And if a clothing is a part of a person that when a person touches, so the clothing are as if they touched, the clothing that are on him are as if they touched that sheretz or that nevela? And if that would be the case, then why isn't that a general rule of thumb that the clothing that a person wears are mekabel the tumah that's transmitted to the person? How could certain things include a tumah being transmitted to the person who carries that thing, includes the begadim, and certain things not? So Rabbi Hirsch says, discusses the inyanim of tumah v'tara in depth in a number of places in his Pirush Al HaTorah. In Parsha Shmini, where these halachas are discussed, he explains as follows. The halacha is nivlas behema. Again, as we said, a behema which is shechted, shaloi kalav, which is killed, which dies, which is not shechted properly, is metame b'maga u'b'masa. It's also b'achilas metame b'maga u'masa. A sheretz, the shmoyne shuatzen, that are described, that are enumerated in the end of Parsha Shmini, are mitame b'mago and not b'masa. The Torah over there does not say hanoise b'nivlosa yurchatz b'gadim. It says hanoise b'nivlosa yitmada orev, that he becomes tame, but his clothing do not become tame. What is the pshat? So Rabbi Hirsch explains as follows. All tumah, he says, and this is a theme that he repeats constantly, the concept of tumah is anything which is linked to death. All kedusha comes from life and the ability to grow. The ability to live and to grow and to advance and to move forward and upwards is life, is all kedusha. All tumah, which is the opposite, the lack of life, the absence of ability to grow, the absence of life, the absence of life-giving force, the absence of ability to live, it creates tumah. The word, interesting, the word tumah comes, is related in Lashon HaKodesh, the word atum, which means sealed. If anybody knows the Brit, the sealed rooms that they have in Eretz Yisrael, in case Saddam wants to send over a few missiles, it's called a cheder atum. The idea of being sealed, cut off from furthering growth, which is the word tum, which is the word atum, is also the root of the word tum. Interesting idea. Tum is somebody who's simonim are sealed off, his ability to growth is not open, so he's called a tum. Tuma is the same idea. Tum is anything which has to do with death, obviously, and the ultimate death is death itself, and a dead body, a dead human body, where a human being who's capable of the most growth, of the most striving and moving upward, when he's taken away that ability from him, when he dies, is mitame. And he's not only an avatum, he's mitama avi avayzatuma, and his ability to transmit to him is anything that's in any meaningful context, anything that's in any structure together with him. To a mace is mitama boil. Again, a mace of a goy is not as capable of growth. The absence of life in a goy is not mitama as much. He's only mitama be mago b'mas. He's not mitama be oil. Odom ki yomus boil atum krim odom ve'ein umus oilum krim umus. Oil. Therefore, a goy does not transmit tumah because the absence of growth, the absence of life, is not as pronounced in a goy as it is in a yid. That's been again tumah sames. But again, everything that brings to mind, that's linked to death of a human being, the link to lack of growth, will have some form of tumah. A behema is something which has certain characteristics of a person. Not only does he have certain characteristics of a person, I mean physically, obviously, not mentally. The tsuras ha behema goes on legs, there's flesh, there's bones, as opposed to other living creatures, which bechlal don't even have a tzara shove of Adam. A behema is that living creature which is most similar in its outward physical form to an Adam, and therefore death in a behemoth will transmit, will create a certain amount of tumah, and it will transmit a certain amount of tumah. A sheret, the Gemara says that only the Shmoyne Shrotzim are metame, because only the Shmoyne Shrotzim have the blood system of vertebrae of mammals, and therefore they have somewhat of a tzadah shoveh of Adam, as far as how their blood circulates, but as far as their bodily functions, how the tzura of the body, legs and arms and moving and walking, that a sheretz is not doimed to an Adam, so obviously he's further away from the concept of Adam. So therefore, when we talk about a behema, Rabbi Hirsch says, we're talking about something which is not only has some type of physical resemblance to a person, but he also functions in the same way as a person. The begadim, Rabbi Hirsch says, a very powerful concept. He says that the what's nitma in a person is not only the person himself, the physical materials of a person, but what's been robbed, what's been taken away by death, what death has taken away from a person, his ability to be poil, his ability to act, to create, to function. So therefore, when a person comes into contact with a higher form of tumma, with a sharper form of tumma, with a behema which also functions, it could carry things, it works, it could plow. Behemoth function somewhat similar to Adam in a simply physical sense. Adam of behemoth is Shri Hashem. Therefore, not only the person is mekabel tumma because he's in contact with death, but when he carries it, when he does an act of functioning, of carrying a pu'ula to the animal, he becomes tummy. Not only does he become tummy, but his clothing becomes tummy, because the clothing of a person are him as far as the world of action is concerned. Physically, of course, the clothing of a person are not him, the clothing is just covering him. But when a person goes out into the world, when a person is outside to serve, to do, to accomplish, to grow, his clothing are a necessary part of him. He can't go out in any sense unless you have clothing. So as far as the world of action, of pu'ulos of a person is concerned, the clothing are part of the person. Therefore, maso, which is the act of relating to the animal in a acting form, in a poil, in a form of doing, of acting, therefore the person in that sense includes his clothing, and therefore when a person is noisei, nivlas behema, he is mekabel tumas maso, a sheret, which does not have any, in the sense of act, sheret can't be harnessed for doing any work of human being. Nobody ever got from one town to another by having a horse and by having a buggy pulled by a sheret. That's the world of action only belongs to behemoth in a similar sense to Adam. Sheret only has physical resemblance, as we said, certain physical resemblance to a Adam. Therefore, he's only mitame b'maga. He's only mitame in touch. His flesh, the Gemara says, is somewhat similar to the flesh of another. There's certain physical characteristics. He has skin, underneath that there's flesh, and underneath that there's the same type of blood that a human being has. Even though we know from 10th grade biology that a human being is warm-blooded, and there's certain shrotim are cold-blooded, but the system of blood covered by flesh, covered by skin, is the same in shrotim as in an Adam. Therefore, he's metame bimaga, the physical existence, coming into contact with the physical mitzius of a dead sheretz will be metame, but not bimasa, because there's nothing meaningful about the contact of masa in terms of a sheretz. This is an idea, and it opens up the hagdoris of tumah v'tahara. It's not shot that masa, the clothing, a part of a person, but as far as the world of acting, of doing, of pu'ulos are concerned, the begodim are part of the person. Now let's go to our mission. Let's try to understand it on a deeper level. Not only a deeper level, it's a much more powerful level. There would be a havamina that avodah zarah is a dover hametame. It's a physical mitzvah. Since it's used for an avera, it's a chetzah shel tumah. It's a chetzah shel miso. There's something deathly about avodah zarah because it takes away a person's ability to have a connection with the Rebbeinu Shlom. Since it has a shaykhus with death, so obviously it's metamit, no different than a sheret or an avela. So that the Mishnah understands. The chiddush of the Mishnah is it's metamit b'masa. Why is that? Because the avodah zarah robs the person not having a living, pulsing connection with the Rebbeinu Shlom, takes away a person's ability to function, to act, to impact the world in a meaningful way. Avodah Zarah means that he relates to the world as all a bunch of natural phenomena. He thinks that the shefa of the world, the bracha, the klal of the world, are controlled by natural forces that can be harnessed for his own good, or could be used for somebody else's harm. And he relates to the world as that. He doesn't have a connection with the Rebbeinu Shlom. In that sense, anything that he does is really just part of a natural, part of the natural flow of the cosmos, part of the natural ebb and flow of the universe. If that's true, then his whole ability, his whole mitzius of pu'ula, of action, of doing, of growing, is flawed. So when a person is a comes into contact with Avodah Zarah, he's coming into contact with something which impacts his basic ability to function in a meaningful fashion. Therefore, we understand in the longest, the way we just explained from Rabbi Hirsch, that the Torah was Mechadish, Chazal Mechadish, that Avodah Zarah could only be a Din D'Rabbanan. That's why I'm saying Chazal, that Avodah Zarah is Mitamei. Not only B'maga, not only the physical materials coming into contact with the Cheftz of Avodah Zarah is Mitame, but coming into contact with Avodah Zarah also impacts his ability to function, his acting, and therefore it's Mitame B'masa. What exactly is the Tumah V'Nida? Tumah V'Nida is also a form of connection with death. A woman carries in her the most powerful gift of all, which is to create human life. In her body, there's built in the cycle of menstruation, has in it, gives her the mitzvah, the ability, the gift to emulate the Rabbeinu Shalom in the most noble of ways, to bring human life into this world. The Rabbeinu Shalom is primarily the creator of all life, and a woman has that ability on a smaller level to bring human life into this world. When she loses that ability, every month when she gets her period and her body loses the ability to become pregnant and to bring human life into this world, she's metame. That's a connection with death. Of course, that has to do with Adam and Chava, the chet of Adam and Chava. That's where all of Nida comes from. That's the mikvah. It has to do with the Nohor Shuyotza Me'eden. That's that place of returning to Gan Eden and so on and so forth. Of course, every month there's a renewal of the ability to bring life, and it brings more life into the marriage. And there's many of such concepts that are expressed in a deeper level in Hilchot Nida, Mikvah, and so on. But the idea that a Nida's Mitam B'mas is the same thing. Her ability to act, to bring, to do, to create, is impacted, is lost with her becoming a Nida. And therefore she means Mitam and not only B'maga, she's also Mitam B'masa. Just to bring this in a different way, the word Rechem, the womb of a woman, which is the place where the Tum of Nida is impact, she loses that ability for her rechem, for her womb, to create human life, is the same oisiyos, just backwards, as mochor. The idea of Avodah Zarah is a disconnect, is a nituk, is a total severing of one's connection with eternity. If this world is only a place where there's natural forces, even if those natural forces are supernatural, are in the worlds above, but if there's no Kael Chai, if there's nothing that's above all the forces of nature, there's no Rebbeinu Shalom, whose Bereishis Bara Elokim is Hashemayim V'Esar, it's above everything, then ultimately there is no Nitzchias. Avodah Zarah is a denial of the Nitzchias of all of human life. And therefore, the existence of Avodah Zarah is connected to Hayoim. The reality of Mochor doesn't only mean tomorrow, Mochor means all of eternity, all of time, which is beyond our connection to today. It's all of our connection to beyond the here and now, which a person has to live with if his life has any meaningful mitzvahs. All of his mitzvahs as a human being's existence, as somebody who lives not only in the Hayyim, but in Mochor, is the same idea as a Rechem. Bringing human life into this world is a expression of one's need and one's desire to connect with future dairies, to connect with a world of mocha, not only to live in the hayoim. Avodah Zarah is where is chmanel from the aver of Avodah Zarah, the type of Avodah Zarah is the wanting to have one's life controlled by the hayoim. It's a stira, it's a contradiction by definition with mocha. Therefore, rechem and mocha are the same ideas, but backwards. What's interesting is the Vilna Goyim says in Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu left Beis Lavan, Lavan came chasing after Yaakov Ubeisoy, and he comes to the tent, he's looking for his trophim, for his Avodah Zarah, and he comes to the tent of Rachel, and Rachel had, of course, the Avodah Zarah of Lavan, his trophim were under the saddle, and Rachel apologizes, excuses herself to Lavan for not standing up, Ki derech noshim li. I can't stand up because I'm with child, I'm expecting. And the Vilna Gaon says, with child, but the other pshat is that she was based nidus, and it was hard for her to stand up. The Vilna Gaon says, how could it be that the wife of Yaakov Avinu should say a lie? It wasn't a lie, he says. Because since Avodah Zarah is mitame, the kinida, Avodah Zarah and nida, the lack of connecting with the Mochor, the lack of ability to connect with Mochor, and the severance from the world of Nitzchis, it's the same thing. So if she was sitting on Avodah Zarah, what that really means is Derech Nashim Li. She wasn't lying. She was just saying the same thing in different words in order to fool Lava. That's the Vilna Gaon, and this fits very eloquently with what we're saying over here. This, the idea of Mitama B'Masa, is a severance of a person's idea, ability to act in a meaningful fashion. That is the Tumah, the ultimate Tumah, which is the ultimate Averu, which is Ovid Avodah Zarah, and that's why a person's Ovid Avodah Zarah has no connection with Nitzchis, no connection with Ruchnius, to the point where the only two Averus that make Rachman Slan a Yid into a Mumel L'chol HaTorah Kula, turn a giving Yid Rachman Slan a Din of a Goy, is an Ovid Avodah Zarah, or Mechal Shabbos Pefarasu, which Rashi explains in Chulin, is because he's Machish Maisa Bereshis. He denies the existence of an eternity, of an eternal world. He denies the existence of an eternal world, then he's living in a world which is totally devoid of any meaningful ruchnius. Therefore, he has no shaykhus with being a yid. The mitzias of being a yid is connecting with a dover nitzchi, with connecting with a dover ruchni. And this just, again, this just gives our whole sugya a little bit more, it fleshes out our sugya a little more to appreciate the inyonim of Tumah V'Torah on a deeper level.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present a shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. Or email info@thehalachacenter.org.